Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In mid-April, in Washington, D.C., a relatively small number of delegates of the World Bank Monetary Fund gathered together for closed discussions. These discussions would affect the economic conditions of literally billions of people. However, those delegates were joined by several thousands of protesters who also descended the American Capitol that weekend. The protesters aimed to bring issues of global economic injustice to the public agenda and to highlight the policies of these specific institutions for their role in the further impoverishing of those nations who are already excruciatingly poor. In the midst of these critical protests, the presence of Muslims was scarce. Among the few Muslims that I did run into during that weekend was Dr. Luis Safi, who is the founding director of the Center for Balanced Development. Upon my return to Chicago, I was able to interview Brother Luay and ask him to explain further the issues of globalization that were at the core of the protests. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Luay. Thank you for being with us here today on RadioIslam.com.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. I'm pleased to be with you here.
To start with, can you tell us a little bit about your organization, the Center for Balanced Development?
The Center for Balanced Development is a civil society organization, that's to say non-governmental organization, concerned with exploring, understanding the process of globalization and in general and in particular also looking into developmental issues throughout the world and in the Muslim world.
Can you define for us what exactly is meant by the term globalization?
Well, globalization, as you know, has been defined differently by different people. What is at the core of the process is an attempt to, if you like, export from Western culture to other cultures throughout the world an economic system based on the values of capitalism, competition, political system based on the notion of democracy, pluralism, and along with it, of course, a cultural package that is essentially Western culture being advertised and exported.
Mm-hmm. So basically we're talking about the culture of consumption, of Western consumption being becoming a universal ideal.
You are right. Definitely, Western culture is much more than that, but it seems that there is also a process taking place within Western culture whereby, as time goes by, this culture is becoming more materialistic, even more hedonistic, and this part definitely is the one that seems to most vividly go from the West to other parts of the world, particularly because of the Hollywood
syndrome,
its ability to try to package certain cultural practices through its movies, and also partly because of the multinational corporations that are interested in packaging their products. They want to push that, and then you see that this culture of consumption and consumerism is the one that really being exported to other parts of the world.
Most recently, I guess, in the May Day protests around North America, previously on April 16th and 17th, the protests against the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank in D.C. And previous to that, the Battle of Seattle, the protests against the World Trade Organization, there have been a series of very persistent protests here against the concept of globalization and the capitalist economy. Can you talk to us a little bit about what the main ideas behind these protests have been?
The protest generally has been about the excesses of globalization. By that I mean, if you look at the various elements that are part of, that were part of the protest, these include environmentalists who are concerned about the excess of corporate pollution in different parts of the world, deforestation and all of that. They include labor union members who are protesting the fact that many of their jobs are disappearing in front of their eyes. Also, you have different types of groups. Each of them has its own grievances and discontent. But as I say, I mean, the bottom line here is that there is an excess, particularly by corporations, multinational corporations, and this is a reaction to that.
Well, how do these specific institutions, the IMF, the World Bank, and the WTO, how are they specifically complicit in the acts of globalization?
Well, if you look at what they call cultural adjustment programs, which these are a set of policy recommendations that they impose on different countries, particularly those countries that need to borrow money to handle economic problem. Now, they impose a set of policies, in effect, trying to make a level playing ground for all competitor producers and multinational corporations. But the problem is that the competitors are not equally having the same strength. So ultimately what we see is that corporations that are based in Western industrialized country are able to control local markets throughout the world. IMF, the World Bank, and most recently WTO have been an important part of that process of trying to impose a regime, economic regime, that is in effect transferring wealth from the poor to the wealthy. And that has been going on for the last at least two decades, but in the last decade, throughout the 90s, the process seemed to have accelerated.
Can you give us specific examples, case examples of what policies that are imposed upon developing economies that harm the local economy and the ability of the local people to feed themselves?
Yes. For example, most recently WTO has been forcing developing countries to open up their market to outside businesses. And they are requiring these countries to treat multinationals exactly as they treat their own.
Mm-hmm.
In effect, what that is doing is, of course, developing countries have limited resources, and multinationals are gigantic economic powers. So what's happening is that when these corporations go to developing countries, they are able to control the economy, and then they will transfer their profits outside the country, leaving, of course, the economic situation worse than it was before this process took place.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, IMF very often, in order to ensure that the developing countries can pay back their debt, forced those countries to give up welfare program, or they force them to stop subsidizing some essential commodities and products that are very really essential for the poor. And so what we have here is that the poor groups within the developing countries, and by the way, these are the majority of the people, are being squeezed further and further. Education, even education programs, are being really put under pressure from IMF, so that the government of developing countries are spending less money for education that they spend to service their debt or to pay interest for the debts they have incurred from outside banks and international banks.
Isn't it also true that in some circumstances the economies of developing countries are forced to open their economies to products produced in the West and not subsidize or support their own industries in that, or agricultural products in that field, whereas those same products and that same foodstuff produced in America is incredibly subsidized by the American government, and so the playing field is completely unequal?
I mean, you are quite right in saying that. In fact, this is part of the distortion that's taken place. Because while the governments of developing countries find themselves under intense pressure from international institutions such as WTO to implement their agreement or risk being thrown out of the organization, developed countries have different dynamism, political dynamism. Farmers, let's say, in the United States or in Europe, will apply great pressure on their, you know, governments, their legislative bodies, in order to protect or at least subsidize, and that's what has been happening. American farmers are subsidized and have been subsidized for decades, while you find that by opening their markets to outside products, include subsidized, you know, agricultural produce, then what happened to farmers in the developing countries is that they can't compete with these very low prices, and many of them are driven out of their business. Mm-hmm. So you're right, that's what's happening. And WTO, of course, has a what they call, you know, litigation procedures, whereby they would allow the country that has been found, you know, wrong in the breaching some of the rules of WTO, they give the other country the right to punish through boycott.
Mm-hmm.
By cutting products, but then you can tell that when the United States boycotts some of the products produced by developing countries, those countries, you know, get hurt, while the United States cannot be affected, you know, in the same way when developing countries try to boycott American products.
So clearly, this issue is one of particular concern to Muslims, not only because we as Muslims are instructed to be committed to the concept of justice, but also because much of the ill effects of this affect countries where there is a Muslim majority. And yet we find that these issues are not that commonly spoken about or discussed within the Muslim community. Why do you think that is?
I found that to be quite disturbing. I mean, we are discovering time and again that many of the Muslim, even intellectuals, are unaware of the type of you know, injustice that is taking place through under of course the rubric of freedom and liberty and liberation. Of course, when we hear about the programs advanced by World Bank, IMF, WTO, we hear economic liberalization. We hear free trade, but definitely these statements are misleading, because what is being liberated and made free is not the people in the developing world,
mm-hmm.
but the very wealthy corporations that are trying to, you know, trying to transfer the wealth from the poor countries to the wealthy countries. But as you say, we find that particularly Muslim communities in the United States and in the West are not aware of that, and some of the leadership still think that IMF or World Bank are doing a good job in developing countries. So I feel that there is a need for a lot of education, and it was interesting to find that Muslims were absent in the two major protests you referred to, the Seattle and Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Very scarce to be seen at the protests.
That's correct. Uh-huh.
What do you think needs to happen for the Muslim community to understand the depth of this issue and to become more involved?
Probably there is a need for a lot of education. And there is a need also to try to link the importance of Muslims being active on these fronts with the very vital issue that the Muslim communities, particularly I'm talking now in the United States, feel strongly about, that's to say education. Because I feel that we cannot educate our children Islamic education if we are not living, or if we continue to pay lip service to values that we deem important from the Islamic point of view, such as social justice. So when we try to pay attention to education, I think one has to remember that even for educational purpose, for the purpose of connecting our young Muslims with their values, one has also, the community has to pay attention to what's happening outside in the larger society, and to become active participant when it comes to defending the dispossessed or to helping those who are in need or to speak against injustice. So what I'm saying is that there's a need to educate not the kids at this point, but also the communities themselves, so that they realize that being Muslims, they have to speak out, speak up, and to address those issues.
And as you said, the first part of that process would be to become more informed about these issues. And to do that, I know that they can go to your website.
Well, we are trying to help in a still very limited way. But you're right, our website provides information that help people see the problem, analyze some of these problems, underscore some of the processes and how they're affecting people in the developing countries. And we invite all to visit our website and and by the way, this is an interactive website. They can also comment, they can inquire, they can also request an update that would come to them through email, etc.
And the URL for your website is?
The address is www.cbdnet, this is one word, cbdnet.org.
Great. Well, thank you very much, JazakAllah Khair, for being with us here today, Brother Louis.
Thank you, Sister Itrat.
And inshallah, we'll talk to you again soon.
My pleasure.
Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, wa alaikum salam.
This is Itrat Sayed, reporting for RadioIslam.com. Ma'asalama.